Welcome to Minority Corner with Aneke
and James. Learn, laugh, play.
It's like Blue's Clues.
Only more black, gay,
and ladylike.
Previously on Minority Corner,
Amber gave birth.
Amber gave birth and tried to defend her baby away from all those bees and started a forest fire.
Oh, Amber.
And I have an update.
Hold on. Can't wait to hear it.
Hold on to your butts. And America Ferrera wrote a letter to Donald Trump.
She did. Michael Eisner.
And his peanut face.
Against women.
He's saying some crazy things. Luckily, he's not there at Disney. And Stonewall, the movie's coming out. And it just has nothing but a sea of white people.
Needs a splash of color up in there.
A splash of color to get some history on it. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's do it.
Let's go to the show.
Episode 5. Question.
Hey, James.
Episode 5.
5 golden rings.
4.
Something.
3.
Da da da.
2.
Doobie-doo.
And you are still listening. They said it wouldn't last. Like the Jen. Well, who said that?
Shania Twain.
Shania, that bitch. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Shania.
Little known fact, James and Shania Twain have this ongoing rival.
We have an ongoing feud. She's always been sassing me. Well, look at me now, Shania, and where are you?
We are still going strong.
Yes, still going very, very strong. What did you do? What have you been up to?
Oh, man, I've been all over the place. Well, I had a little up. I went to go see Dr. Cornel West.
What? You went to see... tell me everything.
It was really good.
How was he?
I suggest to anyone, if he's ever in town, I say go check him out.
Go see him.
He tends to ramble.
Who doesn't?
I know, because his brain is like...
On fire.
Filled with so much information. It's amazing.
And he's just trying to spew it all out to everybody.
Yeah, and he says some really radical liberal things that you wouldn't normally hear. First of all, I went to see him in a African Methodist Episcopal, AME church.
One of those things.
Those churches are the ones that are the ones that are getting burned in the South.
Oh, right.
Those are the ones that are targeted and where the mass shooting of in Charleston happened.
Yes.
So it was really poignant for him to come to Berkeley to the one that's here.
Yeah.
And it was packed.
I'm sure.
It was super diverse in there. It was really beautiful. Everybody was in there.
Yeah.
He just came right off the bat and said that we all need to take the lenses of white supremacy off of our eyes.
Like everybody.
Yes, yeah. Everybody. Because he says it affects everyone, including white people, because they're under the shackle of it as well. They're not able to explore other points of view.
Right.
Which is so important that he said that too. And he always said that you need to love one another. Mm. He was critical on a lot of black leaders, saying that, hey, it's your time to step down. Like, he said that about Al Sharpton. He was like, get off the stage.
Like, while he was talking, he was like, boo, Al.
Basically.
Al, you get off that stage.
He was like, it's time for the young people.
It's like the Apollo. And, like,
I know, with the hook.
I wish that could happen. From now, the Apollo needs to get on it and get that clown over to anytime Al Sharpton is speaking and get him off that stage.
Just yank him off the stage.
It's time.
Exactly.
And we need to get, just like, and like we were saying before, like a lot of the new leaders in the black movement are actually like a lot of black queer women.
He said that too.
Did he? Yeah.
He was like, queer women of color have been champions of civil rights issues since the very beginning. So I thought that was great.
Yeah.
He's totally pumping Bernie Sanders.
Oh, I actually am too.
I like him. He's been telling the truth from the very beginning.
Right. And yeah, I know before we got to give equal time to equal candidates.
It's
and I know
true.
We said some stuff about Hillary, but we just want people, we want you to vote. But Bernie Sanders is really doing it for
He's
me.
He's doing pretty good.
He's doing it and doing it and doing it well.
Yeah, LL.
Can we just call Bernie Sanders LL from now on? And everybody will know what we're talking about.
I hope so.
Or what is it? We'll call him Ladies Love Cool Bernie.
Ooh, LL Cool B.
We should run his, like, campaign.
I like that. We'll be the representative
like,
for Bernie Sanders.
I'm going to the White House. The White House. I don't think so. Oh, I guess he gave up.
Oh, no.
It was a short-lived campaign.
So what else? So that was great. I say anytime that you are listening or get a chance, not listening, but if you get a chance to
go see him.
Dr. Cornel West, go. No, it was too many
people
in there.
You're like, hey.
I was like, hey, that's right. So that was cool. And then also, Summertime Aneke exploded this weekend.
I don't believe you. Listen, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to crack this facade. Aneke, the librarian, as we all know her, librarian extraordinaire.
Yes, it's true.
Goddess Princess Leia.
Sure.
Okay.
I love it.
You know, she's been talking about, I'm on summertime. Every time I see her, she is like, I'm busy.
It's
she's
true.
Like folding paper vaginas.
They're flowers. Excuse me, Georgia O'Keeffe.
Well, vaginas, flowers.
Potato, potato.
No, actually, I was walking down the street and there was a window. I was going to take a picture and send it to you because I was like, Aneke, this is your store.
What is it?
They make like paper stuff and they make paper vaginas.
Hey, why not? My friends are talking about making paper penises for my bachelorette.
Oh, so it's like a thing? This is like a thing?
It's like the new origami movement of like... paper genitalia. But let me tell you what happened to me.
Uh-oh.
I found myself in the city yesterday. Just strolling around. I ate a whole bunch of Mission Chinese food.
Mission Chinese food?
Well, it was called Mission Chinese.
Oh, that was your first mistake.
No, it was delicious.
Okay.
It's usually, like one of these like bougie places that Anthony Bourdain went. It's like hole in a wall with like string lights, but like hipsters are in there serving
Get
it.
Get out.
But it was delicious. It was so good. And so I was in a daze. I was just like, And my nose ring popped out the night before.
Uh-oh.
Because I was blowing my nose. So I went in to go get a new nose stud, which I've been wearing since I was 20.
Yeah.
And they're like, would you like a hoop? And I was like, give me that hoop. So I put a hoop in my nose, and it lasted about a day.
Oh, yeah, I don't see it.
It just didn't look good. It looked weird, and, like, every time I shook my head, it, like, jingled around.
Just gotta get used to it.
No,
way we can hear you coming. I'm like, oh, God, here comes Aneke.
With her hook nose. I was looking in the mirror, and I looked like Pirate Aneke. It was not cute.
Pirates are great. If anyone can change the image of pirates, it's you and Zoe Saldana.
That's true. She was a pirate. She's
Zoe
beautiful.
Saldana was in the first Pirates of the Caribbean, and I will tell you how devastated I am that she was not in any of the other ones.
But who was that other black lady that was in the one that played like the like sea wench?
But not the same thing. Like, Zoe wasn't the sea wench. Like, Zoe was a full on fucking pirate. You know what else really gets my goat? You know what really chaps my pants?
What chaps
you know
your pants?
Really gets my underarms chafing.
What's chafing your cha-chas.
I'm not down with this new Mission Impossible movie. And for
what?
One
I love
simple
Mission
reason,
Impossible.
No, you don't. Not anymore.
Why? What's happening?
Paula Patton's not in it.
She was only in one, though.
She was in the last one. And everybody came back except for her. That's not fair. That's inappropriate. And then they brought in... Here's my other issue, though.
Okay.
They just brought in some other chick.
But
right?
Let's just think about what's been going on with Paula Patton in the past year.
Yes, totally. But my whole entire thing is that, like... I just get upset because it's like...
Yeah.
They're trying a diverse cast, and they're like, okay, we got the black guy, we got the British guy, we got the girl. Like, I hate it when, like, girl is diversity. Where
and,
it's like,
also...
Why can't you have more than one female character on the team?
And they always have the woman characters always interchangeable. Like, in all the James Bond movies, it's always, like,
thing.
A new woman. It's never, like, the same
she's
woman.
Always fighting in a dress lately in these movies.
Like, she's running in some
the
heels.
The new girl is, like, fighting in a dress. And I also did find out that Paula Patton had some scheduling things, but, like, I feel like if they really wanted her, they could have... They also apparently asked Maggie Q, who was in the
third...
She was in the third one.
Okay, well, I like that. At least they're trying for a little bit of diversity.
I don't see it on the screen.
I just feel kind of bad for Paula Patton, aside from the whole...
Her husband? Her ex-husband?
Going on a tour called Paula, being like, Paula, I want you back, even though I cheated on you hella times.
Hella times. Mm. Not even having it.
Okay, tell me about your weekend.
Well...
Or your week. What's been going on with you?
Well, briefly, I was a gay uncle, or I am a gay uncle.
Gunkle.
Me and my friend Rob, we took our nephews, who are the same age of 13, we're like, I want to go to Great America. Hey, let's take our nephews to Great America.
Great excuse.
So I got a minivan, I was a soccer mom.
Yes!
We piled Rob and his boyfriend, and
so
Rob's
cute.
Mom, into the minivan, we drove up
You took
there.
Moms, too?
Not my mom. My mom was not allowed.
Oh.
I was not bringing my mom to the park. She kept calling. She was like, hey, where's everybody going?
No!
No, not doing it.
Okay.
Not enough. My nephew's gonna be a handful.
Yeah.
My nephew's
13.
He's 13 and he's an idiot.
13's the age, man.
And they know everything.
It's the age where your hormones overpower your brain.
Well, and he's also from Louisiana, and they just do things a little differently.
Just a tad different.
But, like, you know, I'm all about these rides. And you know what's really sad? Like, when you become older, you realize that, like, these rides that used to, like, make you fear life and death are actually just another walk in the park.
I don't know. I've gone reverse.
Oh.
Now I have mortality. I have the scare. I have the fright of mortality in me.
No. I'm like, this is nothing. I was like, I can, like, touch the ground. It's right there. I'm like,
we are opposite.
It's... Oh my gosh. Like, I was, like, reading a newspaper while I was on the vine.
I saw those pictures. It was just ride that,
like, drops you up and down. It was just, like, the easiest thing ever. And then my nephew, like, was so scared to go on, like, he wouldn't go on, like, there's, like, one ride that he chickened out of going on.
Which one?
And there was the drop zone. It, like, lifts you up and then drops you down in 2 seconds.
See, no, fuck that.
But it's like you're up and down before you even know it. And
pees out of your body by that point.
Well, you gotta go sometimes.
Oh my God.
Let it out.
Oh, by the way, for those of you who are not in the Bay Area, Great America is a theme park.
And a sad theme park these days. It lost all of its money.
It used to be Paramount. Owned
by Paramount. And now it's like, it's, and we like, listen, and here's a trick. I'm telling you, all of you listeners, this, and I shouldn't be because it's my secret that I discovered. Always go to a theme park. After 4th of July.
Yeah.
During the weekdays.
Oh, dead.
No one was there.
Oh, that's
there was
beautiful.
Like maybe 100 people there. We were walking on rides. We could ride them like back to back.
I love it.
It was amazing. Because if you think about it, people are back at work.
It's true.
And they're just gearing up for the next weekend.
Holiday's
like,
over.
Holiday's over. Everyone's back to work, back to the grind. So we're just walking on and off rides.
That's so good.
But my nephew, like, he's 13, super tall. Taller than me. He was like,
really?
When
dang.
He's like, when did you get so short?
Oh,
like, fuck you.
Yeah, 13 year old.
Shut up. You know, I can drive. I can drink. Okay? So you shut up. I can rent a car.
Let's
I can
face
rent
it.
This car.
Being 30 versus 13 is so much better.
Oh, God. His life so is miserable. Better.
I feel sorry for him.
He's in middle school. That's a terrible time.
Oh, the worst.
He went back to middle school. Oh, but, like, there was, like, this, like, 8-year-old girl who, like, went on the ride by herself. She went on drop zone by herself. Her mom was pointing at her, and she was, like, pointing. She's like, my daughter's crazy.
What? Who are these people talking to you?
She let her daughter go on this ride by herself.
Somebody died on that ride.
That's old wives' tale.
No, it's the truth. It was on the news. Like, 5 years ago, somebody died on that ride.
Oh, that's why two of them are unoperational. I was telling my nephew, I was like, no one's ever died on this ride, idiot.
Someone fell out when it was still up in the air.
Well, you
granted.
Know, somebody probably died crossing the street to go to groceries outlet yesterday.
It's true.
So,
grocery outlet.
Anyways, this was really funny because, like, this 8-year-old girl was getting on the ride by herself, and my 13-year-old, like, 6'2" nephew was, like, terrified.
Okay, so I feel for him a little bit because I'm going to go on a trip to the Philippines soon, which is really amazing. I'm really excited about it. But the half of my family is going to go scuba diving, and they keep being like, oh, it's fine, Aneka, just go scuba diving. And I'm like, you can't just say that to scuba diving. I barely know how to swim. And then we're going to go maybe swimming with whale sharks, which are the size of buses. And they're like, oh, whatever, it'll be fine.
Yeah, just go. You only live once in that day. With that attitude, you'll be gone before you know it.
I'll be safe and sound.
Oh, man.
Watching my TVs.
Did also, I gave my nephew like a complex. Like, I was afraid not to. He almost didn't want to go on this other ride.
Uh-huh.
And I was like,
just do it.
Well, no, at first I was like, what? We waited in this line for 10 minutes because there was no line. I was like, we waited in this 10-minute line. You're not even going to get on this ride. And I was like, well, fuck it. I'm going to go have a great time. And then,
he's
like,
13. He can
everybody
hang up
around
himself.
Him started, like, this other 8-year-old girl, same 8-year-old girl. She's like,
she's like, following you guys.
And, like, all these things, like, all the staff was like, it's okay. You're going to have no problem. And I was like, it's like, I don't want this to be that moment where he was traumatized, where his uncle made him go on the ride. So I was like, all right, fine. I sat down. But then, like, everybody started being like, dude, just get on the ride.
Poor guy.
And then he did. And you know what? Afterwards, he was like, yeah, it was really easy. I should have been me.
Oh, my God.
He's like, listen to me. I'm 30.
It's true. Do you know how I got over roller coasters? I went to, I think it was Disney World or one of those places with my good friend, Allison Voss. Shout out to Allison Voss.
Hey, girl.
We were about 14, and she was really into the operator of the roller coaster. So we rode the roller coaster like 16 times.
Wow.
And every time she would like be like, can we ride again? And like wink at him and be like, ooh, we just want to ride again. And he was like some, carny.
Like carny.
So he was like, yeah, okay, whatever. So that got me over.
What happens? Your teen hormones are raging, and they like this carny guy is then cute and attractive. Being a teenager is the
worst. After like the fifth time, I was like, I can handle roller coasters.
And like, meanwhile, your friend's like, I'm sorry, Allie, I'm calling you out. Allie's like flirting, and you're like crying your eyes out. Like, Allie, please no. She's like, shut up.
We're gonna do it again.
Like, hey, and you're like crying. That's terrible. I'm sorry that happened to
whatever, it worked. I was in love with roller coasters until I turned like 25. And then I was like, I don't need this anymore.
Yeah.
Show me the booze kiosk, please.
They have that. You can ride rides and drink.
I like parks. That.
It's a great idea.
At Great America?
Every park.
Formerly of the Top Gun ride, now...
Now it's Flight Deck. They lost all the rides and they had to take all this gear out, and now there's just, like, random missiles hanging out. It's weird. Last thing I want to say, speaking of Top Gun, if you guys haven't seen this recently, go remind yourself, and please go watch Tom Cruise jumps on Oprah Winfrey's couch.
Oh my God.
I think we forgot how crazy that moment was. Oh. It was crazy. Mm-hmm. And, like, Oprah the entire time is just, like, trying to keep the interview going because she knows this man has lost his mind. And she's just trying to keep the interview going, and she's just like, he's lost it. He's lost it. And, like, the boy, like, was insane.
I'm in love.
He was on drugs, overacting, trying to show everybody how straight he was. And then they bring out Katie Holmes, and it looks like a hostage situation.
Well, you saw how she got out of that relationship, right?
But he, like, runs backstage. And, like, he runs backstage to get her, and she runs away from him. And then, like, he takes her arms and, like, looks like he arrests her. Like, this he puts his arms behind her back and pushes her out on the stage. And it's so sad.
Oh, watch it. Do yourself a favor. We should have a YouTube it corner.
Yeah, we should have a YouTube.
Because we talked about YouTubing Rosie, what's her face? From The View, who's now leaving
Rosie is leaving The View, and also, last thing I want to say, and Raven Simone was giving mad side eye to Cameron Burr. Candace Cameron Burr?
Sure.
Candace Cameron, Kirk Cameron's sister, who I didn't know she was as crazy as he was.
Well, I know that he's a nutty nut.
So is she, because, really? Like, they were talking about this topic about, like, you know, there's this place, Oregon, there's this cake place that didn't want to bake a cake for these lesbians.
Right.
And these lesbians are, like, suing them.
Okay.
An exorbitant amount of money, like $150,000, where it was like, you know, 10 grand sends a message, but like...
$150,000?
But, like, Raven was drawing the comparison to, like, you know, if it was like an interracial couple. That,
right.
Like, because Oregon has laws about discrimination that, like, you can't discriminate from a business sense against someone's, like... race or religion and that sort of stuff, and that sexual orientation should be under that too.
I totally agree.
Candace Cameron is just like, no, I mean, faith and that, and
dude,
Raven. But here's the best part.
Okay,
Raven was giving amazing, crazy eyes.
Yes,
side eyes, like all the kinds of eyes I didn't even know were possible. And I almost feel bad because I think, like, Raven, she's young. She's like 24 or something, I think.
Yeah,
and
she's out and proud.
Yes, but I think it's hard for her to get engaged in these conversations. I think The View is very hard for her because she kind of wants to go off, but she's gotten a lot of flack for going off. So sometimes she's a bit reserved, and that's why I love Rosie, because Rosie's like
in Rosie her didn't 40s. Give a fuck.
She doesn't give a fuck. She's from New York, and I wish Rosie wasn't there that day.
Oh, and I wish she would have gone. Damn, she would have gone off.
And yeah, so Candace Cameron. So I will not be checking into Fuller House on Netflix. Thank you.
No, especially if she subscribes to the same sort of beliefs that her brother does.
And she tried to just be like. It was just insane, the things that she was saying. I just wanted to punch her in the face. But I won't, because, you know.
But Raven did with her eyes.
Raven did.
She made a meme out of it, so that's worth something.
More memes for that. Well.
Let's go to the corners.
Oh, I was going to make a That's So Right Raven.
Oh, sorry.
I was like, reverse. I can see the future. You know what I see?
What do you see?
A corner. Hey girl, where are we? What's going on? Where am I? What's this corner? Explain everything.
Welcome to the Comic Corner.
Ooh. Is this Comic Con?
Yeah, well, it is...
Like comics?
Yes, a tribute to Comic Con.
Okay, I'm excited. Because Comic Con's happening right now.
In San Diego. Hello, San Diego.
Hi, San Diego. We should have been doing this... Oh, damn, we fucked up.
Well, next year, when we become giant, huge megastars, we'll just have to go down there and record a bit.
Start tweeting us right now of who you want us to interview so we can collect a list.
Send, hashtag send minority corner.
Let's get a GoFundMe. Done. All right, let's get a GoFundMe. To Comic Con.
Yes.
All right, what's going on?
Okay, so since we're two lovely people of color, and these two lovely people of color love comics.
We do.
We talk about...
Nerd alert.
All sorts of universes. In fact, we were talking about universes when we were off the mic.
Yes.
I would like to point out...
As in, like, story universes, not just, like...
Universe.
Yeah, like, we weren't talking, like, some existential shit.
No, like, we're talking Star about, Wars. Like... And Marvel.
Like Star Trek.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. Nerdy universes.
Nerdy universes. Okay. Universes of characters.
Yay.
I guess. Is that the best way to kind of put it?
You're a librarian, so I get how you wanted to use like the fancy talk.
I don't know.
I just call it like nerd stuff.
Yeah. Nerdgasm.
Nerdgasm.
That's okay. A nerdgasm.
Wow. That's not how I do it. I do it a little bit. I do it cooler. I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a little, you know, you gotta have some flavor to it. Oh, see, you just went too far again.
That's how I. That's how I do it.
I'm not judging.
That's not just sexy.
No.
Fuck.
I'm sorry. Someone lied to you.
God damn it.
Yeah, Andrew. Sorry.
All right. So I would like to point out in tribute to Comic-Con, I would like to bring to the attention to our listeners some creators of color.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Do you know that woman from True Blue, Tadalak Glue, in Living Color?
What? Are you having a stroke? What just happened? What?
That's how I remember things. I sing their theme songs, and that helps me to remember.
Who is True Blue?
Darkwing Duck. No.
Nope.
Okay. Say by the bell. No. Okay. No. True Blue, Tell That Glue. And Living Color. No. Living Singles.
Oh, Living Single.
That woman who played Maxine.
Erica something something.
She's a comic book artist.
Oh, she is?
She was at this, I went to this MLK Day. There's a huge festival for MLK Day.
Oh, cool.
In San Francisco, they do, a huge, there's talks and speakers. Mm-hmm. That day, they also happened to have some sort of, Black Comics Expo.
Oh, I love it.
And she was up there. And
oh,
she was,
cool.
I mean, I didn't get around to seeing her. And Little Rue was there.
Awesome.
Who's not so little anymore.
Well, yeah, she's, an amazing actress.
Yeah.
Now.
So are you going to talk about Erica? No.
No, I'm not going to talk about Erica, but
which
you
is
do
why
you.
I brought her up.
I'm glad.
Why I brought her up.
I'm kind of doing People on the Verge. She's, in the mix right now.
Ooh.
She's in the mix.
The verge of what?
The verge of...
exploding.
Yes.
Okay. Whoa.
Okay. All right. Okay. So, first person that I would like to bring to your attention, and I'm bringing this up so you guys can look them up and support them and embrace their work.
Yes.
So, Lalo Alcaraz,
what'd he do?
He has done a comic strip called La Cucaracha for 20 years.
Is he Latino?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes.
Sorry.
And he's also going to have a show that's going to be on Fox, and it's called Border Town, so look out for that.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Is that on?
Not yet.
That canceled? I'm thinking
something. No, it's coming.
Okay.
It's
oh,
coming.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I heard about that. Yeah.
So it looks like it could be a good answer to Family Guy.
Oh, yeah. I know. I've seen the commercials to it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That looks good.
So look out for Lalo Alcatraz.
Yeah.
Or Alcaraz. Okay. Alcaraz. No T's.
You can sound it out.
Alcaraz.
There it is.
Okay. And then he's also... okay, so moving on. Next one is Brandon Easton.
What'd he do?
Brandon Easton is now on the writing staff for Agent Carter.
Ooh, I gotta be honest.
Yes.
Haven't seen a single episode.
Neither have I.
Well, okay. But
But
here's my thing. Here's my thing. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't have a thing, actually. But I feel bad because I watched all of Daredevil. Amazing. Mm-hmm. So good.
Its treatment towards women was a little weird. Okay. He locked Rosario Dawson in his room for 3 days. He was
for
just
her
wait
safety.
There. And then for she left and safety. She was fine. She went back to work.
Oh, but guess who's coming in season 2? Elektra?
Yes, Elektra and Punisher.
Yes, yes. But I thought Daredevil was I liked it because I thought it was a really nice, gritty portrayal.
They did
a
really good job.
And he lives in this larger universe, but he was just fighting neighborhood villains. You
it's
know?
True.
Like, yeah. Oh, and I watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I need to watch it. I haven't watched it.
No, you need to watch.
What do I need to watch?
If you're not going to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or Miss Carter.
Agent
Carter. Miss Carter would be Beyonce.
Miss Carter.
I would love to see Beyonce playing the role of Miss Carter.
Oh, that'd be tight.
She'd be like, Agent. Hey, y'all. She'd be like, hey, y'all. I got to solve this mystery of where these aliens. Where's my Sasha Fierce? You're a bugaboo.
Good.
And she just shoots him.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and then she does all this dance fight choreography.
It's hard to do it on radio because
you guys should see this dance fight choreography I'm doing as Agent Miss Carter.
Whipping her hair around.
It would be Agent Miss Carter.
I like that.
Oh, but Arrow and the Flash.
Oh, should I watch Arrow
you
and the Flash?
You need to watch Arrow and the Flash.
Isn't the Flash DC?
Yeah.
Okay, so different
but
universe.
Really good.
Different universe.
And it's really well done. And Arrow and the Flash are in the same universe on CW.
Oh, so Arrow is DC too?
Yes, so it's Green Arrow. And there's The Flash is a spinoff of The Arrow. And The Flash recast Iris West, who's The Flash's love interest. Mm-hmm. She's a black girl.
Ooh, I love a little bit of swirl.
And Jesse Williams? Is Jesse Williams?
Pretty Eyes? No, not Grey's him. Anatomy?
The guy who used to be on SUV. The black guy on SUV from Rent.
Oh! Who's supposed to play Marvin Gaye?
I can see it.
Me too. When's that movie coming out?
Super sexy. But he plays Iris's father. And he's such a good actor that he just helps to raise...
work.
He helps to raise the bar. And they have a Black Hawk girl coming on for Legends of Tomorrow. See, so anyways,
this is how you do it.
The CW is doing it up.
That's how you do diverse casting without making a big deal.
Yeah.
That's how you do it.
Absolutely. Okay. Sorry to sidetrack.
Same with Daredevil, too, because they got Rosario Dawson up in the mix.
She's going to be in all of those Defender series.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, so, Brandon Easton.
Wow, we just got really nerdy for a second.
Well, we're letting our nerd flags fly.
Sorry, y'all. Actually, you know what? Sorry. I'm not sorry.
Yeah, sorry, not sorry.
That's my nerd voice.
Okay, so Brandon Easton, he is now a writer on Agent Carter, and he is also writing a biography on Andre the Giant.
Who's that?
He's a wrestler.
Oh.
From the 80s. Did you ever see Princess Bride?
I'm going to lie to you and tell you yes, but it's a not truth. Listen, I was really busy in the 80s, okay? Mm. I had a lot of things to do. I had Oreos to eat, Big Wheels to ride, and those reruns.
Y'all can tweet at James.
Oh my God. Listen, I can't Y'all be can. I'm sorry I'm not
right
perfect,
on our Facebook,
okay?
Facebook page. All I got to say about that, James, is would you like to have a peanut?
I don't get it. Is that a joke from The Princess Bride and it's being exclusive?
So, Brandon Easton was also a writer on The Librarians TNT show. Ooh. Which had Noah Wiley.
Did you watch that show?
No, because they're not actually librarians. Want to see me get real nerdy right now? None of the librarians on The Librarian show are actually librarians.
Oh, man. That show looked... I think it got canceled already.
Ask me about
you
it later.
You must have been really offended.
I wasn't offended. I mean, anything that's pumping librarians, I'm into it.
Like, that's where we are now. They're like, we'll make a show about librarians. And they go on adventures.
Okay. There's more.
They're like, someone didn't return the books. Sorry.
There's a lot more exciting things that happen in the library. But moving on. Rocky Olivares.
Uh-huh.
She...
Hello, Rocky.
She has a goth country-influenced comic called Heroes and Bandits that you should check out.
Whoa.
And then there's Greg Pak. Greg Pak is, he's worked a lot on Action Comics, which is a part of the DC Universe.
Yes.
He's also been a writer for Marvel's new Totally Awesome Hulk series. And he is debuting his first creator-owned miniseries by Dark Horse, Kingsway West.
Hmm.
So that's Greg Pak, so check him out. And then there is Cindy Pawn.
Cindy Crawford.
Pawn!
Oh, I really wish that there was Cindy Crawford.
She's a lady, but
I would love to
she's...
see her do a comic book series. She would, like, write it about, you know, Pepsi Lady.
Okay, stop it.
And her adventures through Cola Town.
But she's just Pepsi, not Coca-Cola.
Well, but it's Cola Town.
Oh, like Cola the flavor. Oh, okay.
Oh,
okay.
P.S.
Yeah.
They just, did you know they redid the art, Marvel relaunched all of their comic series?
Mm-hmm.
And so everything's starting at number one.
Yes.
Archie's been redone.
I love it.
They're doing an Archie TV show.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Archie's good.
I mean, Archie was the first comic that I read.
Well, and Archie also has, like, there's a gay character on Archie. Like, it's got diverse. Like, Archie's very, like, it does it up.
Archie was, like, cutting edge for the 60s before that.
But that's the thing. Like, he's still doing it. He's still being cutting edge.
He died in a recent comic.
Oh, that's sad.
But it was, like, a hypothetical kind of like, one of those.
What if he died?
Yeah.
Let's all think about it. That's...
I know.
That's a dumb plot.
Yep.
Okay.
So Cindy Pawn, P-O-N, she wrote a book called Serpentine, which a 16-year-old handmaiden deals with physical changes that point her towards a destiny she has to avoid. So YA, diversity in YA, we need it.
She's like, don't go down that pathway.
She's not, but she's like, go down the pathway of diversity in YA.
Oh, that's good.
Along with Melinda Lowe. She's also another YA writer. So if you have a young adult in your life or you just like to read young adult stuff, look up Cindy Pond and also look up Melinda Lowe.
If you too have a dumb nephew or niece, make them read this stuff.
Send them that way.
My nephew literally said, he was like, nobody reads these comics.
Hella people do.
Shut your face.
Has he not seen the craziness?
Like, you're talking about stuff from the 60s. Like, I'm trying to tell him like simple things of like, oh, there will be no Iron Man 4. It's going to be Captain America Civil War.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, no, because he doesn't know anything. He's just stupid. And I'm like, don't try to out-nerd me, because I was like, I've been around for longer, and he tries. And I'm like, just Wikipedia.
He tried to out-nerd you by not knowing about this
stuff? Because he watches the cartoons or something, and I'm like,
there's
okay.
A lot
and then
more
I said to him,
cartoons.
I said, those cartoons are based on the source material that the comics are based on.
Hello.
I always think it's so much more interesting to know the source material before you even watch the movies, because then you can see how they, like, change it up or something.
Yeah, I love hearing about secrets, like how in Ant-Man, supposedly, they're going to debut the Microverse, which might be where they send Hulk.
Oh, that's fun.
So it's kind of, it's neat to know this stuff when you go in there so you can look for the clues.
That way you can also know, like, you know, like, where is, that there might be a wasp in Ant-Man.
Well, there's definitely going to be a wasp in Ant-Man.
Well, no, I'm saying, like, the old wasp, because this they're doing Scott Lang, which is the second Ant-Man.
Hank Pym,
like, has a history of mental illness.
But it's Michael Douglas.
Michael Douglas. Which I have a thing about Michael Douglas, but I'll talk about that later.
Sexy thing?
No. Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. Sorry, but I'm not sorry. But no, but Hank Pym, like, beat his wife.
What?
He beat the wasp. Like, he, like, punched her in the face. Like, that's why
the wasp was gonna be fucking, what's her face from, what's the show that everybody fucking loved?
Lost. But that's not what I'm talking about. Because
she's
Janet Van Dyne is the wasp, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that was Hank Pym's
wife. Uh-huh.
But
she's playing Hank Pym's daughter.
Yes, Hope Van Dyne.
Okay.
Who in the comics, I forget, she might be something, but she's not originally the wasp. So, but there might be, they're going to flashback, they might do like a flashback where the wasp
is the wasp there. Cool.
But they probably will have Evangeline Lilly be the wasp eventually. If not,
she's going to be the love interest of Paul Rudd.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that's given.
Yeah.
Anyways, I just wanted to bring that up for you guys. A little bit of uplifting people of color who are doing it in the nude nerd universe.
The nude universe?
The nude nerd universe.
That sounds hot. The nude nerd universe? Sounds sexy to me.
Okay.
We can, like, get naked and read comics all over ourselves. And make that sexy noise that we do. That just sounds like a great time.
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed it.
I had a terrible time.
Hey!
I had a blast.
I know!
Are you kidding me?
I know!
It's fucking, like, nerd jerking off over here.
So good.
I got, like, my nerd juices all over. I hope your ears aren't sticky.
Let me just go get a towel. I gotta go get a towel. Hey, James.
Hey, girl.
I think you got something to tell me.
I got something on my face?
No.
Mayonnaise or something?
No, you're good. You're all cleaned up.
Okay. Oh, okay. Good. I just like to eat vats of mayonnaise.
Just spooning it.
Can I do my British impression for you?
Sure, I'm ready.
Hello, governor. Would you like some of my mayonnaise?
It's dainty. It's refined. It's classy.
Okay.
It's...
Hello, governor.
Yeah.
Would you like some of my mayonnaise?
I feel like I'm in Buckingham Palace right now.
Isn't that like a local colloquialism? Like... You know, like, park the car in the Harvard Yard, and they also say,
hello, governor,
would you like some of my nice?
I think maybe back in the 1800s, during, like, the street urchin times.
Governor, my nice.
Governor, would you like a shoe sign? Shoe sign is here.
Well, why would the governor want more mayonnaise? I don't get you. To all our British listeners out there.
Hi.
I don't get you.
I support you, though.
I used to date one. I mean, I'm not, you know.
You don't discriminate.
So anyways, so this is... What are you whispering to listeners while I'm preparing?
Hey, okay. Listeners.
So this is where we're going.
Okay, where are we going?
Is to Hollywood, people of corner. Wait, sorry. What? Hollywood, people of color,
all
corner.
All right. Yes, there we are. There she is.
Took me a few times.
That's good.
Words are hard, okay?
Can I tell you a quick story?
Okay, yeah.
It'll take 2 seconds.
One.
Okay, so a friend of a friend worked at a Tonight Show, one of those Tonight Shows. Mm-hmm. Liza Minnelli was there as a guest.
Whoa.
She was getting her face done, and she was all, like, hunkered over and, like,
bleh. Her face done, like, her makeup?
Yeah, like, her makeup done.
Like, she wasn't just going there for a facial?
No, no, no.
She was like, I want a facial. No. And they're like, it's Liza Minnelli, we gotta do it.
Hey, I would. If she came to my house and asked me, I'd be like, all right, let me get some soaps. She was getting her makeup done, mm-hmm. and she was, like, all hunkered over and, like, totally just, like, not with it. And then when they finished her face makeup, she looked in the mirror and said, there she is.
I do that all the time.
Every morning?
Every morning when I get up.
Like, that's your affirmation?
There she is. That's how I can't even start my day. And sometimes I just stare at myself in the front of the mirror until I say it.
That's good.
I gotta wait until... Otherwise, if I can't face myself... I can't face the world.
Ooh, drop okay. the mic. Shout out to Leah Casey for that story. Thank you, girl.
Oh, that was her. Hey. All right. Okay, so here's the thing. So Dylan, I'm going to butcher his name because you know I can't pronounce anything.
Try it.
It's my own last name.
Spell it out.
Dylan Maron. Sounds like I'm calling him a moron.
All right, Dylan Maron.
He is an actor, writer, and director, person of color.
Yes.
He's like of American Venezuelan descent.
Okay.
Lives in New York.
All right.
Totally gonna hit him up when I move to New York. He's 27.
Oh.
This sounds like just like my dating.
I know, you're like, Song. He's actually talking about He's one of my friends on Facebook.
So he has a Tumblr.
Okay.
And the Tumblr is called Every Single Word.
Okay.
And what he's done is he's gone and he's re-edited very popular movies.
Oh, yes.
Don't spoil.
I'm not.
He's recut popular movies and just put together all the clips featuring people of color.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to play a little game.
Okay.
How much time? So you looked at Noah?
Yes.
The Noah's like 2.5 hours long.
It's a long-ass movie.
How much time do you think people of color were in Noah?
0 seconds.
0 seconds. So it's brilliant the way that he like edits the movies. He's like, Noah, and it's like the opening title sequence. And yeah. He's like starring, and if it's like featuring a person of color, he'll show all like their moments and clips and all their dialogue.
Totally.
And all their lines. And it just went, Noah, and then it went right to black screen.
There's no people of color in that movie.
None at all. So then we have Spike Jonze, 2014. In 2014, did the movie Her.
Her,
hi. How much time do you think people of color are in that movie?
Oh. I want to say 0 or 2, but probably like 3 or 4 seconds.
40 seconds.
Oh!
There was...
That's sad that I'm excited.
Why are you excited?
That is sad. I'm excited.
Of a 2-hour movie.
That is sad.
Isn't that sad? 40 seconds of a 2-hour movie.
Who was it?
There was 4 characters in 40 seconds. It's like 10 seconds each. And the clip is so sad. So you have plenty of time to like watch these clips. Because at this point, like if you watch these two back to back, 40 seconds of your life. Tatiana.
Okay.
Letter writer number 2. There was a pizza vendor, and here's my favorite character, uncomfortable waitress.
Yes! Oh my god. It's better than Noah.
How much would you wager in American Hustle? How much time would you say?
There are no people of color in American Hustle.
American Hustle?
Don't they go to like a Chinese restaurant? Is that what it is? Maybe like 2 seconds in there?
Actually, American Hustle has about 2 minutes.
Oh!
There's this one character, I think he's like terrible. Latino, who's playing a person from like the Middle East.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So, and then The Fault of Our Stars.
I did not see that movie, but I imagine there's 0 people in there.
No, there's 2 minutes.
Maybe this like, is still think it's terrible!
Like and like, what's crazy, it's like you have this 2-hour movie.
Right.
You have a 2-hour movie. And the fact that you can, like, cut and, like, you know, the people are saying this is sort of like the new Brechtel scale, Brechtel test, but for people of color. But it's actually, like, asking even less. So the Brechtel test is asking, there's 3 things.
Yes.
You have to have two women
characters.
Two female characters, and they have to have names.
Names.
They need to, then for the next level, they need to speak to each other for at least a minute.
Yes.
And then they need to speak about something other than a man.
Exactly.
So those are the 3. And so yes. So, but this is just asking for time.
But let me just do a little plug. The Bechdel test, if you're in New York, there's a play on Broadway called Fun Home, which is by the woman who, Bechdel, what's her first name? I forget.
Allison.
Allison Bechdel. It's based on her story.
Yes.
So this people of color Bechdel test is sadder because it's easier.
Yes, because we're just asking for like screen time, really. We're just asking to be like just present and
I know.
That's what's so sad.
Because it's not like people will be like, oh, you have your movies, you have your Tyler Perry or whatever. But it's like, oh, we aren't asking for much.
We're not asking for much.
We just want a larger character in your movie that's a person of color.
I don't think
and that... And make it not a big deal.
Right. So, they interviewed, the Washington Post interviewed him because he's been getting all this press.
Okay.
What is Maron? Dylan? Dylan.
Let's just call
my
him
new boyfriend.
Dylan M.
Dylan, my new boyfriend. I hope you're not listening because whatever, I don't care.
Hey.
He's cute.
We'll check in a year.
So he was saying he got interviewed, and like the history of this project for him is that growing up as a brown kid in this country, you're very aware of your difference, and you know, he was talking about he's always loved movies,
yeah.
And that when he was young growing up, he said that he never really saw his reflection on film.
Hear.
He said, I never saw people who really look like me, and I think when you're younger, you don't really have the tools to wonder why, or you don't think to ask why, you just accept it as truth.
Right.
And so, you know, growing up, it's kind of an anomaly when you see, I mean, I remember watching, like, when I was a teen, Disney Channel started to change. Like, Disney started starting to get it a lot, like,
way
sooner.
More diverse.
They started, because they would start putting, like, you know, That's So Raven. Like, every show they had a diverse cast. Like,
totally.
Towards, like, in the 2000s, like, they were all about that sort of diverse casting. And he also talks about, what I like about this guy is that he talks about, he's also queer. He's a queer person of color.
Yeah.
And Dylan talks about, like, how... with his agents, it's really hard for him to find work sometimes because they say things to him that there's not a lot of work out there for him, or he can't really play a romantic lead because he's a queer person of color.
Yeah, like Zoe Kravitz. I just read a thing on her where she talked about how she auditioned for a tiny role in a movie, and they said that they weren't going urban. Zoe Kravitz, daughter of Lisa Bonet and Lenny Kravitz, is urban.
Speaking of Lisa Bonet...
Yeah.
My friend who owns the store here in San Francisco said that Lisa Bonet and her boyfriend came into her store and she was kind of snooty. She didn't want... Jason Momoa wanted to buy the suitcase and she was like, you don't need that. And she walked out of the store.
Wait,
she was really
all
snooty.
I'm hearing right now is that Lisa Bonet and Jason Momoa were here in San Francisco.
And didn't want to buy my friend's suitcase.
But when was this?
It was like yesterday.
Shut up. They still could be here?
Probably. You better go outside
and go
check.
We're going to have to end this podcast right now. I'm sorry.
And that guy's going to go look for Lisa Bonet. It's funny. When she came in, he said, like, he didn't realize it was her at first.
Yeah.
And he was like, whatever. Like, in his mind, he's thinking, whatever you Lisa Bonet want to be.
It was actually Lisa Bonet. That's the best.
Dylan was, he talks about in his interview, he was also talking about, like, how his agents will say to him a lot, like, you know, I don't know how much there is for your type.
Oh, I hate that shit.
They're like, I'll keep my eyes peeled, but you're very specific. And then he was questioning, and I totally get this too, like, as a queer person of color, you know, you start wondering, he's in the biz, yeah, and you start wondering, like, he was like, well, why aren't there a lot of parts for me? And that's when he started making these video clips of, like, because they're not writing roles for people outside of something that's very specific. And then he started talking about, you know, we talked about The Fault of Our Stars.
Yes.
And he was looking at that movie, and he read the book, it's based on a book, and he said that there's... It's a YA book. And he said that there's nothing in it that specifically makes it so that character needs to be white.
Exactly. People always default is white.
It's white.
Which I... All we're asking for is to branch out your brain a little bit. You know? Like, it doesn't have to be a white character. Like, I'm so excited that the new Avengers team has two black men on it.
Yes.
Like,
and
hello, we're different types of people.
Fantastic Four has... And people are wigging out their mind because the Fantastic Four has Michael B. Jordan playing the Torch.
Right.
Torch has always been a white dude, and that his sister is still Sue Storm being white.
Right.
And people, like, you know, and Dylan was talking about this too in his interview, that in theater, we do, I hate this term colorblind casting, but we do, because you can't be colorblind.
Yeah,
but we do casting on a broader sense in theater all the time. And that film specifically has not caught up to this idea in branching out. And The Fault of Our Stars, that, like, there's nothing specifically that deems it, they don't talk about whiteness.
Right.
So any character could have played those roles.
Right.
Even in, like, you know, I look at, like, The Hunger Games, I think The Hunger Games would have been much more interesting.
Right.
If Katniss Everdeen was a young girl of color.
I mean, the way that she's described, she could have been Indian, she could have been Native American, she could have been Latina. And she just has dark hair.
And if you really want to talk about what the world of the Hunger Games really happened, mm-hmm. Katniss Everdeen is a black girl. Who is more likely to be starving? Or Latina? She's not
okay,
white.
Okay, we're going to get a little... Because she is in Appalachia. That's where that district is. I would say more likely Latina or Native American. But she could have been black.
But I'm saying that, like, I think if you're really going to follow, like, the character... I think it just would have been more interesting of a choice of, like...
It's true.
The fact that all the black people were just in, like, really one district. And the capital was, shown to be a very diverse place. I bullshit. Know. That place is white.
I mean, Rue... The thing that pissed me off about that, everybody was totally upset that Rue was black. If you read the book, Rue's black.
Mm, yeah.
That people character that, is categorized as black. That,
like, Beatty was black. So then Dylan was talking about, like, TV is actually starting to catch on to this because
yeah, they are.
Advertisers understand, like, advertisers get it. They get, like TV starting, like, Fox and ABC have had some of the best seasons they've ever had mm-hmm. because they've had, like, scandals a hit.
Right.
How to Get Away with Murder, Blackish.
If a show is good, people are going to watch, no matter what they look like.
But even more, like I'm talking about, like, so many shows.
Yes.
Jane the Virgin.
Empire,
Cristela, which is the first show that is written by a Latina mm-hmm. and directed by a Latina and starring a Latina. The more diverse that you have, more people are tuning in. And it makes sense because people are like, and it's actually, the writing's getting good. It's not even like, there's so many black folks on TV now that I don't have to watch. I used to feel guilty if I didn't watch the one black show that was on.
I know you would call me and be like, support Scandal, Neke.
Right. But now Scandal, and at the time, Scandal was like the only show that had.
I know.
And like, it was like the first show to feature a leading black woman since the 60s.
That wasn't like she was getting shit done and she was rich and whatever.
Yes. And what's really interesting about, like, Empire is that they also not only feature Empire and Blackish specifically, mm-hmm. they not only feature race on it, but they also could have a conversations and dialogue about it.
Yes.
So, like, Empire also deals with, like, homophobia.
Mm-hmm.
Blackish deals with what it means to be upper income blacks, but mm-hmm. also still dealing with, like, what it means to be black in America. But then on the flip side, you have other shows, like we were talking about earlier, like, you know, Arrow, where they just casted Iris West as a young black woman, where they just did it.
Or what was that one show called Selfie, which was terrible, but they casted John Cho as a character that wasn't racialized at all.
And it wasn't even originally written for him.
Right? It was for an older British man?
They were going to do an older British man. Mm-hmm. And so that, like, TV is starting to get
catch
it
on.
And understand it a bit more.
Catch up, movies.
We're
looking at you.
We're looking at you, movies. Oh, but he has gotten criticism for, like... A little bit. Most people are very supportive of Dylan's, like, eye-opening work that, Hollywood needs to catch up. But some people are like, well, why don't you do that with Black Holiday? And it's sort of the same quote, like, so when people are like, why is there the BET Awards? Or why is there BET in general? And he said something that was really interesting, that BET has to exist because everything else is white entertainment.
Hello, there's a reason why there was all women's colleges. There's a reason why there's historic black colleges. There's a reason why there's affinity clubs, because people who are normally not a part represented in media, in the majority, who don't have the privileges, need a space.
Yeah.
The Black Entertainment Network happened because there, if you look at Seinfeld, if you look at Friends, we are sidelined characters.
We're not in there at all. Like,
being... I know, Friends, you're not in there.
Yeah.
Seinfeld, sidelined characters. It's like, we needed something to see us in the forefront. Now we need to become mainstream.
Yeah. And Dylan was kind of, what I love that Dylan was talking about is he was talking about something that, like, it's very easy for us to say, that person's a racist, or identify to a certain degree, like, oh, like, that person says something racist and we attack them on Twitter.
Right.
But he said it's harder for us to understand what systemic racism is, and we're starting to unpack some of that. And he says, I'm not saying that any of these films are racist. I'm not saying that any of these filmmakers are racist. I'm saying that the system that they're contributing to has some deeply racist practices.
Exactly. Which brings to mind, if you don't mind, if I do a quick little tiny segment.
Is this about Being Mary Jane?
No.
The Gabrielle Union TV show on BET that neither of us are watching.
But I love Gabrielle Union.
I tried watching, it started off as a movie.
Oh.
I'm sure it gets better. Okay. Like, with most things, like, it
takes time to warm up. It's
very melodramatic.
Yeah.
She, like, her, I saw, like, the first 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Her friend was, her friend that she was sleeping with, her friend's boyfriend or husband or something.
Okay.
Had just tried to kill herself and was in the bathtub. Oh. And being Mary Jane had, like, punched through the glass window and break in.
Okay.
And,
like, okay. I can't.
Give CPR to her friend.
No.
That was, like, episode one.
Oh, my Lord.
That was the first 10 minutes.
No.
And it's tough being Mary Jane.
Stop it. But.
Okay.
What I wanted to bring up and what I was debating on talking about, but this is a perfect segue. Ex Machina. It's the perfect example. I'm going to give it to you in 2 minutes because Rick, James is telling me to go because he took 2 minutes to talk about being Mary Jane.
But this was my segment. And if you want to talk about it, don't try to shoehorn your segment into mine.
But I'm just going to say really quickly.
Yes.
This is the system. Everyone's
raving about that movie. I haven't seen Ex Machina.
Everybody's raving about it. I'm not going to spoil it. I'm just going to say when you watch it, look for the female representations that are shown in that movie and how their races present themselves in there.
Don't they just show it as like women are hot and robots?
No. Oh. It's fucked up. I've been angry about it. Nobody's been talking about it. Mm. I found a really good article on Racialicious about it. It's a hierarchy of races and it's really fucked up to show how the female form and in their races are presented.
Mm.
Watch it with a grain of salt and you'll totally understand how the system of racist systems are in there. That's all I gotta say about that.
Well, that's
I'll talk about it later.
Thanks for ending my segment on such a wonderful,
wonderful punch through glass, being Mary Jane.
I wanted to end up like being Mary Jane about how great that's what I wanted to do. Anyways, tune in to Being Mary Jane on, I think it's on Netflix.
Watch a lot of TV. There's a lot of good television.
Watch a lot of TV. Do nothing else in your life and just watch the TV. More importantly, like watch some people of color on TV.
Yes.
It's getting better.
It's getting way better.
There used to be some really, remember Homeboys from Outer Space?
Oh my God, I do.
Do you remember like that Chris Rock song that was like, ABC, anything but color. CBS,
oh yeah,
colorless broadcasting system. UPN, underpaid Negroes.
Oh no, that's right.
And it was so true. Homeboys from Outer Space. WB, we're the brothers.
It's so true.
That was on No Sex in the Champagne Room.
No sex in the champagne room. No sex in the champagne room.
Absolutely, positively, no sex in the champagne room. Traveling back in time to a history corner. This corner's old.
Ish. It's old. So we're going into history corner. It's called Back to the Future Corner.
And is this about Back to the Future, the movie?
Nope.
Oh.
It is about someone in the past predicting the present.
Do you know, can I just throw this in here? But do you know I got really excited when I was a kid when I learned you could rent movies from the library?
It's really cool.
People
are still really excited that they can rent movies from the library.
Is it like VHS tapes, though?
They got DVDs now.
Oh, okay.
They got DVDs, they got VHS, they got CDs. How does it hook up to
my Netflix account?
Ooh, here's a tip. Go to the library, check out a CD, burn it to your computer, return the CD.
I can't believe you just told our listeners that. That is shady. You're going to get kicked out of like the library Illuminati.
I'm already, my card has been petitioned for so many years.
That's like telling me to like go to the library, rent a book, is that what they call it? Rent a book, and
check out a book.
I don't have time for your jargon, your jibber jab.
Oh my God.
And then go to Kinko's and copy the book.
That's time. And then too much.
And then tell people I wrote it.
That's so I'm too like, much.
Here's my new book, 50 Shades of Grey. That's what you just told me to
That's
do.
That's the book that you're copying?
I'm going to make some money.
There's so many better books out there.
I'm going to make money.
And then she basically did that with Twilight.
Shh, my little secret.
Oh my God. Okay, History Corner.
Mm-hmm.
So today we're going to be talking about Nikola Tesla.
Oh, I love him.
He's great. So basically, just a little recap. Nikola Tesla, or Nikola Tesla.
Or Tessie for short.
Tesla, not the car. But the car is named after.
Didn't he build it?
No.
Okay.
He is an inventor that died in 1943.
So sad.
But here's the thing. Everybody gives electricity. Who's the father of electricity?
God.
No. Come on. Come on.
My mother?
Stop it, James.
Oh, Benjamin Franklin.
No. Oh.
It's been a long time since I missed that day in history class. That science guy.
Edison.
Bill Nye. Fred Astaire.
Edison.
Oh, yeah. Thomas Edison.
Okay, so Thomas Edison was a dickhole. Thomas Edison was a copy hack dickhole.
Oh, he stole things from that one guy.
Tesla.
Yes.
So he stole the idea of electricity.
I saw there's a Simpsons episode about
this. Yes. And what was it? The phonograph or whatever. He stole that. The phone. He stole it from Tesla. Mm-mm. And he used to go around and, like, electroshock an elephant because he was just a sadistic bastard.
That's like me, like, going around on carpet and, like, dragging my feet and then going up to you and shocking you.
Maybe a little bit more.
It's on the same level. Mm. Somewhat.
All right. I'll let it slide.
Okay.
I am beautiful like an elephant. Who mourn their deceased, by the way. I just found that out. It's really beautiful and sad.
So stop killing elephants.
Stop it. Their tusks aren't worth it. They mourn their deceased. Okay, anyways, moving on. So Tesla. He, basically father of everything amazing and electric. He was also a big old weirdo.
Well, you know.
He loved pigeons.
He's like Oprah.
He basically had a pigeon that he's kind of considered his girlfriend.
Stop it. I'm leaving this corner. He took a turn. I can't. You're talking about this bird man.
But with weirdness comes genius. My mom always says...
What does she say?
Maybe she won't agree to this, but I swear she told me this at some point.
Think outside the box.
I swear she told me this at some point. When you're just that smart, you give up some things.
Yeah.
And you usually give up social skills. So I'm kind of glad I'm not that smart. But most really, really smart people have some weird shit going on.
They're weird. And that's
because
fine.
They had to fill their brain with smartness, not with social attributes.
Yeah.
That's why Nikola Tesla had a pigeon girlfriend.
And that's why you get people like me to play their roles in a movie.
Sure.
But according to Hollywood, I can't play that part.
Well, you can't. Well...
What?
You can't play Nikola Tesla.
Box, Aneke. Thanks for
well, he's a real person.
According to you, all I can play is Daddy Jones.
Oh, Daddy
Still
Jones.
Not letting go of
that one. Daddy Jones, welcome Dear back. Me. You mean Papa Johnson?
Papa Johnson. I'm so mad at you.
I think about the pizza for some reason.
You were hungry? Anyways, talking about Nikola Tesla Birdman.
Nikola Tesla. So he was interviewed in 1926. And
I love that year.
1926, he said this. Not only... Okay, so he goes, when wireless is perfectly applied, the whole Earth will be converted into a huge brain, which in fact it is, all things being particles of a real and rhythmic whole. So he's saying everybody's going to be connected when wireless really takes off. This is in 1926. And then he goes... television and telephony, we shall see and hear one another as perfectly as though we were face to face.
Did you say telephony?
Yeah, but I mean, they kind of, this was
it?
A new thing.
Idiot.
They're like, you know, Jim Jamboree.
As smart as he claims he was. The telephony. Okay.
I'm going to let that slide because that's just you talking.
Well, that's just me. Last time I checked, I don't go around throwing words that don't exist.
This was before things even happened.
Well, if he's this great predictor of all technology, he should have known that no one's going to call it telephony.
Nothing lives up to James' standards.
Stop trying to make telephony happen.
Nothing lives up to James' standards. 1926. So he goes, as though we were face to face, despite intervening distances of thousands of miles. And the instruments, though, which we shall be able to do this with, will be amazingly simple compared with our present telephones, which is true. A man will be able to carry one in his vest pocket. Which is
that.
A cell phone.
Well, no one uses a vest pocket these days, though. I mean, some people do. I mean, he was a little off.
He predicted the technology, not the fashions.
he is not as great.
Why are
you
poo-pooing this amazing thing?
I just think that if you're gonna be great, like, be great. Don't, you know. I'm not cheering that crazy man on my stoop because he didn't throw bird poop at me. You're not pleased that I'm not.
I am not happy right now. This is amazing. He's a very smart man who was afraid of women because he thought women were very smart. Here's another quote of his. The female mind has demonstrated a capacity for all the mental acquirements and achievements of men. And as generations ensue, the capacities will be expanded. The average woman will be as well educated as the average man, and then better educated, for the dormant facilities of her brain will be stimulated to an activity that will be all the more intense and powerful because of centuries of repose. Women will ignore precedents and startle civilization with their progress.
What a kook. Just kidding. Totally just kidding. That's great. What a batshit crazy man.
I am eyeing you right now. What a batshit
crazy man. First the vest pocket, the telephony, and now this jargon. No wonder. Edison, way to go. I'm just kidding. No, this is great. This is wonderful.
He's awesome!
But what I will say, he damn near predicted Skynet.
He did predict Skynet.
So did he talk about how this is actually like an evil thing that's going to destroy us all?
No. He thought it was amazing. Him and his pigeon girlfriend.
Well, him and pigeon girlfriend like didn't mention about like, what has every movie about science fiction and robots taught us?
Don't.
That robots will destroy us.
I don't understand why people have to, why people are so intent on creating artificial intelligence. We don't need it.
We know how this ends. We know how this ends.
We don't need it.
And why did we name the cloud? Skynet was named Skynet. Like
everybody thinks it's in the cloud, but it's just in a giant server in like Ronkonkoma.
Well, Skynet was just a giant server until it like sent its rockets to destroy us.
It's not gonna happen.
The Matrix, the robots came and killed us.
Okay, so a piece of me is like, ooh, scary artificial intelligence, but another piece of me has a cell phone that barely works.
Yeah, now. But we're talking about our great-great-grandchildren who'll be murdered by robots.
I don't think so. As long as it's raining, these computers are not going to work.
My great-great-grandfather didn't even have a computer, and now we have
computers
them.
Computers can't handle water.
Think about how fast things are running.
Computers got to plug in.
No, I can put my phone out in the rain, and it's fine.
Can you open it up and put it out in the rain?
Like, open it? Why would I do that?
Doesn't it lose a charge at some point, and you got to plug it in?
The machine will eventually learn how to do it all on its own.
I get scared, but I don't think it's going to happen.
You should be scared.
I would be more scared if I saw
but
better
what if
examples.
I was a robot from the... You're not going to... You're going to be dead before this happens.
How do you know?
Okay, you might live forever.
I got hella good genes.
You and Tesla and his...
My genes and my jeans. Looking good, feeling good, living forever. That's the name of my book.
Oh, it's a long title.
It works.
Just put your telephony in your breast pocket, smart lady.
Vest pocket.
You're giving me such stank face.
I am mad at you.
Why?
Because you are a hater on my history segment.
No, I enjoyed it. I just like, listen, I believe in kicking a good man when they're down.
Like, I'm just going to let that statement just go on its own.
Tesla already had a sad life. Just let it be. And the same way, like Amber, her life is really sad. So it brings me, you just kick a person when they're down. I think it's all great. I'm pro Tesla. I'm pro pigeon girlfriends, and I'm pro smart lady brains. You know I already think you're smart. Smarter
yes,
than me.
Sure. No.
Not that you need my opinion.
I'm not trying to be above you.
Well, and
I'm just trying to be with you.
Oh, I don't... Whatever you want.
James is drinking wine tonight.
I am not.
So I think that is why a little bit of hostility
There's
towards
no
Tesla
hostility.
Tonight.
I just think Tesla is just hilarious. He had a pigeon girlfriend. It's your fault. You told me about his pigeon girlfriend, and what else am I supposed to do with that information?
It's a human interest point.
It just made me think that everything else he's doing is crazy.
So what if he's a little bit of a weirdo?
Okay. It's time for your quiz, grumpy girl. All
right, give me the quiz.
She is not having this. All right. I didn't even get a theme song or anything because you were... Give me my song.
Quizlet Corner.
That is just... Wow. All right. Sorry for the sad, depressing quiz, everybody. Oh, man. All right. I'm going to try to do one. Quizlet Corner. It's Quizlet Corner. And Nekka's really upset. I hope she doesn't fail. Okay.
All right.
Quizlet Corner.
Suck it to me.
This one is all about theater.
Ooh, the theater.
Theater and live performance etiquette. It's been a very busy week.
Okay.
In theater. This is still truth and lie.
Okay, truth and
lie. The best format I found.
Am I picking out the truth or am I picking out the lie?
You're picking out the lie. One of these things did not happen in live theater, live performance in America.
I think I know what it is.
All right.
Stop it. Don't roll your eyes at me.
All right. During a production of Hands to God on Broadway, a person climbed on stage to charge their cell phone. That maybe happened. Or maybe Patti LuPone, during a performance, personally confiscated a person's phone because she was texting throughout the performance of her show. Or Britney Spears, during a live performance of Piece of Me, told everybody to shut up.
I wish it was number three, but number three is a lie.
Wait, I'm not done.
Oh!
There's some more.
Okay, ooh, sorry.
Madonna has been banned from the Hamilton Theater, or I think there's a show called Hamilton.
Oh, okay.
Because she was on her phone the entire time, corroborated by Jonathan Groff. Mm. One of these is a lie.
Britney Spears.
Okay, yeah.
But one, I would love... Okay, so I got a couple things.
Also, Britney's mic is never on.
It's never on. She's always lip-syncing.
Yeah. She's got to dance. Otherwise, she's heavily breathing. One time she was trying to, like, back in the old days, like, back when she was doing In the Zone, mm-hmm. Me Against the Music, it's mm-hmm. so sad. She's on TRL, and she was trying, like, it's the hardest choreography ever. It's, like, so much choreography.
She's a dancer.
And she was trying to sing live and dance.
No, you can't.
And you
do
just
that.
Hear, me against the, grab a partner, me, and she just. Panting and dying and dancing.
Oh, Britney.
But isn't that crazy that all those other things did happen? America, what the fuck is going on?
Number one.
What the fuck is going on?
Dude plugged his phone in because of the ladies were texting.
The ladies were texting. He was quoted for saying that. But, and he also said when the security came up to him and they were like, what are you doing? He was like, where can I plug my phone in?
It was a fake outlet, too.
Where can I plug my phone in?
Not to bash on the show.
I'm sure the show is what? Terrible.
All the, like, stills of the show is just this guy with this scary-ass hand puppet, and it just makes me wonder what the fuck that play is about.
I hear it's sort of like, what's that one about this musical, and Gina was in it from Martin? Little Shop of Horrors.
Oh!
Come on, stay with me. Gina was in that.
So damn, it's like Gina. Little Shop of Horrors?
Someone said something, I don't know if it's true.
Because that hand puppet is scary.
But you still don't go up onto a as a thespian.
No, you don't do that
you
at all.
Go no, on a no, Broadway no.
That's
fucking
a
play.
Side
and they
comment.
Didn't even kick out him and his parent, his family.
They didn't kick him out.
Nope, they stayed in.
Number two, I love Patti LuPone. Amazing. She's the best in the world, and I wish I was in that audience.
But like, as also a thespian, mm-hmm. I think like to me, it's like I've had to go. I've done shows.
Yeah.
Where someone started live streaming a football game in the middle of my show, and
I
it was
totally
a small theater, and I had to keep going.
It's awful.
I couldn't just be like, hey, turn your phone off. But like, and this has happened before where certain celebrities of certain caliber mm-hmm. will stop a show and be like, what the fuck are you doing? And like, just stop the
Which
show.
Is good because I don't understand. I went to go see me and...
Patti LuPone.
No, I wish.
But
God.
She like, confiscated
but
a woman's phone. That's
I
insane.
I went to go see a symphony performance at UC Berkeley recently, and it was a live, beautiful chamber orchestra symphony performance. Next to me, dude was videotaping the whole thing. And then whenever he would pause...
There's nothing wrong with bootleg. You got it. He wanted to share
no.
it.
No. When he would pause, he would bring his phone down and not turn the screen off. He would bring it down into his lap so the light was shining into our faces next to
him. Oh my God, that's terrible. That's just
like,
an idiot.
Who are you? How do you not know that's annoying?
Oh my God.
Who are these people? How do you think that you're one, special enough to just be texting through this performance of somebody live up there performing for you? And two, go up on the stage and try and plug it into a fake outlet? And three, what's wrong with you?
Well, but if you're Madonna, you should be able to do it, right?
Oh, get Madonna out of my face.
She got banned. She wanted to go back to the show because she was texting she missed the show because she was texting throughout it the
Turn
entire
your
time.
Turn phone off, girl.
Jonathan Groff was like, he said in quote, he said something, that bitch was texting.
Oh my God.
That was his quote. And he was like, we could all see her face. He was like, you're on stage and all you can see
is this illuminated Madonna demo.
Madonna floating head.
Get her
so
out of here.
The lead actress had banned her from the show.
Good. Madonna.
So Britney did not say, shut up.
I wish.
Her.
Shut up. Shave her
Which
head with an umbrella, run after
say.
People.
We were cheering, and she's just like, I could have made him a better one. I wanted. I
it was good. It was good.
I tried. Britney, like, I should have said that Britney, like, cried in the middle of it, and then maybe you'd have been like.
No. I see her saying shut up more than crying.
Shut up!
Shut up!
Can you imagine everyone cheering? Yay!
Shut up!
Just shut up!
You want a piece of me?
I'm trying to perform here, you animals! Well, no, it'd be like, I'm trying to perform, y'all.
Hey, y'all. I'm just country.
Wow, here we are. To the end of the road.
We did it.
That's what you sing when you're like, are you being canceled?
What? No. Oh, okay.
That Libsyn was like canceling us. Okay.
It's the end of this episode.
Yes. It's the end. All right. Little touching base on some stuff. The Confederate flag is being taken down.
Yay!
You did it.
Where?
In South Carolina.
Yes.
And I just think it's interesting because Nikki Haley, the governor, who was against it at first, is actually all about it.
Mm.
Confederate flag has also been taken down in Disney World.
Nice.
Did you know it was in the Epcot Center?
But, like, why? If it was for Civil War, then that makes sense. But if it was just for...
No, it was hanging with all the other, like, culture flags.
No, get that down.
It was up there this entire time.
Oh, my God. I didn't even know it.
Like, that's just how, like, rooted all of this sort of stuff is. And, like, Obama said, like, it's a step in the right direction, but there's still plenty of work. And my fear is, like, not fear, but just to be aware that, like, just because the flag is coming down,
mm-hmm.
there's still more work to be done.
It's
not
just true. Like,
we did it. Let's eat some pancakes.
It's not over. The fight still goes on.
You can still eat pancakes,
on.
But you still got to do more work.
This is true.
That's it for me.
Okay, shout outs.
Oh, and Aneke battled a troll on our Facebook wall.
Oy, 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 we got a troll.
That means that we're getting popular.
It was a stranger troll.
We have no idea who this person
is. We don't know who it is.
But someone.
But, I mean.
They called us racist.
I got called a racist bigot because I called him a troll.
But again, we can't be
racist. Nothing racist.
But we can't be racist because racism deals with power. But again, trying to get someone to understand that.
It's true.
Is just. Impossible.
It did end up polite. We both ended up saying, like, oh, you have a polite night. You have a nice night. I don't know.
No, he was trolling and being upset.
He was
I was saying that Amy Schumer is saying racist things in her stand-up comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's questionable. And I posted that article.
And he was all for not being PC in politics.
Comedy.
But I mean... It's lazy to be racist in comedy.
I think so too. There's so many. I like to laugh. We laugh all the time.
Right.
And we're not racist about it.
No.
And if we are, then we become aware about it.
Right.
And like, it's just like the article was just talking about how Amy Schumer and Donald Trump have a lot in common because he's saying racist things. And like, here's my thing. Just because you say you're not racist doesn't mean that you're not racist. If I say I'm not a murderer and then I go stab and kill four people.
You're a murderer.
I am. Even if I say I'm not.
Like, right. And the worst part about it is there's a way of starting conversation. If you really didn't agree with the article, you can come and comment and say, hey, I don't know, I kind of see it from this viewpoint, I'm asking a question. Instead, he was super accusatory, which makes him a troll.
Yeah. Very aggressive, and not even wanting to, like, really listen to any other ideas or opinions, and very just like, I voted for Obama, I'm a liberal, and I should be able to say whatever I want, and comedy's comedy, and it's just, like, unfortunately, because we're just not there yet, that it's not open range for anybody who wants to say whatever they want to be able to say whatever they want.
And he called us Minority Report.
Oh, thank
you. We're Minority Corner.
That's actually a compliment.
We're Minority Corner.
No, but the Minority Report is Comedy Central, right?
No, they're the nightly show. They changed the title.
Oh.
Minority Report is now the TV show that has...
Megan Good on it.
Right.
Yes, which is another example, as they were talking earlier, of that was a role that was not written for a black woman.
Right.
But they made it into one.
Diversity casting. It's
doing
good.
It
one way to start a conversation in the correct way, if you look at our Facebook page, Minority Corner on Facebook, shout out to Ryan Christo because he started a conversation about America Ferrera.
He did. Brought up some really good points about how we were talking about, like, how we bring up, like, that America Fair, what Donald Trump was talking about was specifically Mexicans.
Right, instead of encompassing all of the Latino community.
Because, like, even in the same way that sometimes we do that with, like, Asian cultures,
mm-hmm.
that we lump it all into one, but even there, there's, like, a lot of different sort of...
prejudice within the race.
Yes, absolutely. So...
Thank you.
Thank you for bringing that up, and I thought it started a really good conversation and dialogue, and
it
so
was
thank
great.
You. It was cool.
That's it was really good.
And that's, at the end of the day, that's what Minority Corner is for, is to be a safe space to be able to have a dialogue and have some laughs.
Yes.
And also, thank you for helping us out with some sound stuff.
Yeah, thank you so much. You're hooking it up a little bit. Or a lot of it.
A lot of it.
Maya World Peace.
What up, girl?
She is retweeting and tweeting and Don't Get Caught in the Corner. She's doing real good at promoting us. Kelly R at Kelly Crochet. She's excited that we gave her a shout out.
So now we're going to give her another shout out.
Arturo Murillo at Nerd Nuts.
Awesome. That's great.
He wrote, if you aren't listening to only the Janet Jackson interludes, you are doing everything wrong.
That's my favorite. I'm sorry to everybody else. That's my favorite tweet. That is amazing. I want to go and only go listen to the Janet Jackson interludes. That sounds like a dream.
Thanks, Nerd Nuts.
Thanks, Nerd Nuts.
Maury, our good friend from college, is hitting it up, supporting us. Karen, once again, is asking us questions on the Facebook page. People so are getting in the conversation.
Get in there. Because
dip in.
Otherwise, it's just tea for two.
Tea for two.
Or wine for two, but you know. Hold on, sorry.
Wine for two.
Well, we are over a month into this whole entire thing.
We got this episode 5. What?
And we're cranking it out. I guess that's it. Please, Nike didn't do her homework, so we're not going to quiz her on it or talk about it. Beyond the Lights, if you haven't checked it out, you need to watch that movie.
I'm going to watch it when I got some time.
Okay, it's really good.
It's on Netflix.
Minnie Driver's still very British in it. So I never knew. Nobody told me she was British. No idea.
Well, you know, she is.
It's good to know.
I used to get her mixed up with Andie MacDowell. That's terrible.
I'm getting them confused now.
They're both beautiful. They both have beautiful curly hair. One's Southern, one is British.
And they both, kind of have, well.
Okay, let's move on from that.
What?
I don't know where you're going. I'm scared.
We both, as you should be. All right. I'm out of here. I'm done. All right, do you have anything else you want to say?
No, that's it. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, everybody. Check out Neke. Go to her house. she'll be fighting.
I'm still not performing in anything, but.
Yes. Temple of Poon is opening up next week. And if you can come and take dance classes at icondancecollective.com to get more information, that'd be awesome.
Do it.
And have a good week. Bye, y'all.
Bye.